Welcome to Mona Talbot.
Thank you, Ellen.
And Kate Arding.
Hello. You have to get right up to that microphone.
Yes.
As you're, you know, just swing it back and forth.
Okay.
All right.
Who's going to go first?
So, what brought you to Hudson?
It was a wonderful... we were invited to a cocktail party. We were invited to a cocktail party in Hudson, and we met some...
A lot of those here.
Yes, exactly. And we met some lovely people. We told them we were looking for a location to do a cheese and prepared food shop. And we were looking in Dutchess County. Then we met... everyone in the room said, no, you must come to Hudson. It's... we need a prepared food shop in Hudson, and you'll do well here. And so... I didn't spend much time in Hudson previously, so I walked up and down, and I saw a for rent sign the first time I visited the town. And it was the house was available, the building was available, and we just dove in. And then we realized Hudson is the perfect place for us. It's a great community. It's been very warm and friendly and accepting, and we just really are happy to be here.
Well, where were you coming from? And when you say you came to a cocktail party in Hudson, I assume you were either visiting for the weekend or living nearby?
Well, I was living in Rhinecliff.
Uh-huh.
And I was, you know, thinking about doing a shop in Rhinebeck. And I have a couple friends that had just moved to Hudson recently, and they were hosting a housewarming. And so we met some local business owners who suggested that we do this very, you know, take our business plan here. We thought Hudson was too cool for us. We're kind of nerdies, and so we thought...
Have you met Ellen? No, she's... That would discourage me. She's very cool.
I can sense that Kate is...
Oh, no, it's okay.
You know what? You
okay.
Might want to just take it out of the hook and hold it each separately.
There we go.
There you go. That's perfect.
There's none of that creaking sound.
Yeah.
So here we are, and we found the building... our landlord was very accommodating, and we were at 323 Warren, just neighbors to Hudson Opera House, who we adore, the whole staff over there, and we've gotten to be friends with
everybody. How do you feel about the volunteers over there?
The volunteers are wonderful.
Just in case you're wondering, of course.
How about the board members?
And the board members,
too. I'm sorry. Excuse me. You're a board member, not just a volunteer. Sorry.
So it's we just love it here. We're really, really happy to have chosen.
So what, you both have backgrounds in food and food preparation, I hear from many people.
Yes.
I think you were the person at the Rome Academy in Rome.
Yes.
My friend Joe Luzzi was a resident
exactly.
there.
Exactly. He came after I had already left. I was the founding chef with the Rome Stable Food Project at the American Academy in Rome. And I had the good fortune to live and work in Rome in this spectacular villa high up on the Gianicolo for 5 years.
What could the Italians possibly teach you about food?
Well, exactly. Unfortunately, the American Academy in Rome had legendary bad food. Strangely
really?
Enough. Yeah. They had a catering company, and the food was equivalent to like an airport cafeteria. Mm-hmm. And they weren't willing to invest in changing the food program. And then the president of the academy met Alice Waters, who I've worked with, you know, for many, many years. And she said, you know, we're not willing to just make the food better. We want to do a complete food revolution. So we rethought institutional dining.
Was my friend Adele Chatfield Taylor there at the time?
Yeah, Adele was the president at the time.
Oh, you had friends there, too.
Well, I knew her when I was at the National Endowment for the Arts. Yeah. So. Yeah. We have a connection. You see, 2 degrees of separation, something like that. Wouldn't you say?
If you say. You know, I just go along with you.
He's so accommodating.
Yes.
Anyway.
Now, Kate, your background, and you're a cheesemonger going way back, correct? Or how
yes.
far back?
Yeah.
Somebody I know apparently worked with you.
1993.
Oh.
Yeah, in London. So that's where it all started.
As a cheesemaker or?
No, a cheesemonger. Mm-hmm. So prior to that, I'd worked for my family's business, which is a mustard-making business. And it was just about the time that the British food revolution was kicking off, and not a moment too soon.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to deliver mustard and sauces and things to all these sort of rather high-end stores and delicatessens in London. And one day I walked into this cheese shop in Covent Garden called Neil's Yard Dairy. And I just thought, oh my gosh, you know, this is amazing. It's just completely different. And immediately felt part of something that was bigger than myself, which was very appealing. And so I eventually I asked them if they had any jobs going, and I ended up starting to work there as their wholesale manager. And that's where it all began, at least in cheese.
What does a cheesemonger do?
Basically, it just really is a it's another word for broker, really. But but what was different about the experience for me, anyway, at Neil's Yard, was what they were trying to do, which, of course, now is sort of old hat, because it's a sort of, with the huge upsurge in interest in food, we're all about sort of connecting with the producers and you know, being the intermediary between the producer and the consumer. Whereas then, there was much less of that going on, largely because of the supermarkets and had become these sort of middlemen. And so at the time, there were very few and diminishing number of stores that were working directly with producers and becoming, in a way, their advocates. So it was sort of taking it much further than just picking up the phone and placing an order for cheese and then selling it. It was really...
Would you also go over to the continent and work with cheese producers there?
Not at that time, because the company I was working for was actually focused on British and Irish cheese, which again was unusual. And so consequently, I became much more knowledgeable about what was going on in the UK, which was perfect for me at the time. And because the continent was at that stage was streaks ahead of the UK, and now it's much more on a level playing field. So it was a wonderful grounding. I was too naive to really understand the impact of it at the time, but I just knew it was a great place to work. And I think it's fair to say I wouldn't be sitting here now if it wasn't for that experience, much in the same way with Mona at Chez Panisse. I think it was very foundational in terms of formative.
So do you divide up the present business that way, in the sense of Mona's in charge of the prepared foods and you're in charge of the cheese?
Yeah, well, Mona's definitely in charge of the kitchen and this wonderful food that descends via dumb waiter. You know, it's like magic, opening the doors, like, wow.
Oh, your prep kitchen's in the basement.
It's actually on the second floor.
On the second floor.
So we sort of hear the sort of rumble of the dumb waiter arriving. It's like, ta-da! So Mona oversees all that. We also have a really wonderful retail manager, Sarah Spira, who came crazy enough to join us, but from Formaggio Kitchen in Boston, with a lot of experience. So she's really in charge of the retail store. But she and I very much collaborate over the cheese and the buying of the cheese. And I sort of manage the cheese side to some extent and then other operations. So I run around doing lots of different jobs, really.
Who buys those pretzels? You know, it's amazing that everything in that shop, I think, is the best I've ever eaten, including the pretzels, I think.
Well,
how can
Sarah.
These pretzels be better than anyone else's?
Well, but we do. We tend to make joint decisions about what we stock. I think we taste everything, I mean, Mona included, because it's very important to us, the sources and the vendors that we work with, and we like to have a good relationship with those. And hopefully as many as possible are local, or at least regional. So when we're considering bringing in a new product, we all of us taste it together and make a joint decision on that. So it's a...
I love the dried persimmons. Have you tried those, Ellen?
No, I haven't.
Ooh, good snack.
Mm.
By the way, a question. I've noticed that a lot of the stuff that you package yourself kind of has limited information on there. Is there any effort to kind of...
So the house brand items you're talking about?
Yeah, I guess that's what you'd call them. I mean,
yeah,
things
with
that,
our label
yeah.
on it. We're just 2 months in and
okay.
we're still catching up. But yes, you're looking for ingredient listing,
yeah,
labels.
Stuff like that.
Yeah,
yeah, I was kind of curious.
That's coming.
Okay.
That's all coming. On the tags, I believe, the stand tags on the shelf has the listing of ingredients. But the packaging, we've just currently working with a really wonderful friend who's also in the food business, and we're getting all this standardized so that we can have printed labels with all the ingredients listed.
Because I was going to buy the salsa verde, but I wasn't sure what was in it.
Oh, so there's a sign in front of it.
It did say
it.
That?
Yeah, on the sign.
My bad.
It says Salsa Verde. And then, yes.
But I love the pickled vegetables.
Oh, good.
What else have I had there?
Okay.
Ellen, what have you?
Had the chicken. Do you call it chicken broth or chicken bouillon?
Bouillon.
It is the most incredible I've ever tasted. As with
really?
Everything from.
Well, that's local chickens at Northwind Farm.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Jane and Richard Bozinski. They're a great family farm, and I've known them for a long time. And we make very simple chicken broth, and then I think you probably have had the infusion with ginger and star anise.
No, I think I can't remember what it, lemon and something.
Oh, lemon and thyme.
That's
oh, good.
Right. Yeah.
I'm
have
so
you
glad
tried
you enjoyed
the
it.
Walnut and date cake?
No.
Huh? Ooh.
Ooh.
Ooh. I ate way too much of that way too fast.
So you lived in Rhinecliff?
I did. When I came back from Rome, I did something very unusual, and I took a sabbatical for a year, which I'd learned from all the academics at the academy. What a wonderful thing to do. To take a year and to, you know, really sort of plan the next phase of your life. And I knew I wanted to come up to the Hudson Valley. And I had friends in Dutchess County, and I'd worked off and on in Rhinebeck. So I wanted to be close to the train stop in Rhinecliff so I could go. I was still working in the city part-time. So I landed in Rhinecliff for a year and then moved up here once we decided to open the store.
Rhinecliff is an interesting place, I think. I looked at property there before I came to Hudson, and you know, and it was again, it was because of the train stops,
exactly,
the Amtrak train stops. Yeah. But it's a nice.
And what made you decide against it, Ellen? You know, I always like learning new information about you.
What made me decide
against Rhinecliff?
I didn't Rhinebeck. Decide against it.
Ah.
There was a house in Hudson that I liked a lot more than
okay.
My
enough about you.
Potential house in Rhinecliff. So so you already knew farmers and food sources in the Hudson Valley when you before you opened the shop.
Yeah, I had worked. I had private chef for a number of years for a client who had a weekend house in Rhinebeck, and I learned, you know, and because of my training at Chez Panisse, that it's really important for me to work directly with farmers, and so I got to know different people through, you know, in and around the Hudson Valley, different farms. So it's, you know, as a cook, especially as private chef, you know, if you develop these wonderful relationships, I mean, this is something that most cooks say now, is, you know, these close relationships with the farmers, they can talk to you about, you know, their product, and you in turn can cook a better meal as a result. And it's just a joy to go and meet the people growing your food. And we still do that. I mean, all the farmers deliver to our back door of the shop, and it's just lovely. You know, I had Sue Decker from Blue Sky. I'm sure you all know her. She's lovely, you know, bringing in these squash because she really wants me to try something new. And you know, Jane and Richard Bozinski's son, Russell, now is very tall. He's like 6'4", but I remember when he was a small child and raising rabbits. So it's just these long-term relationships mean a lot to me. And it's, you know, cooks are busy feeding other people, but farmers, this relationship kind of feeds the cook as well. So I'm very inspired by these people.
So what's your, in terms of prepared foods, which is probably the most unique aspect of your store, you know, it's a big gap. I know Ellen has been long clamoring for prepared foods. That's true. You've always said that, Ellen.
Yes.
That wasn't a joke, actually. Anyway, how do you plan that, given the kind of the fact that from Monday through Thursday, there's a completely different sort of client, not different clientele, but not as many people here, not as many people perhaps.
Well, so we're new to it. I mean, December was busy, so we were very busy, just sort of, you know, I've heard Kate saying on the phone today, it's like the paint was still wet when we opened our doors. And so we just hit the ground running, and we were very, very busy with holiday food. But now we're finding our rhythm. You know, we have local shop owners and local people coming in for lunch. Mm-hmm. And then some people swinging by on their way home getting some prepared food for dinner. You know, we make these pot pies, chicken pot pie, beef pot pie, and the hand pies, you know, lamb shepherd's pie, and also beef and mushroom and ale pie and pork and potato pies. And those things, the way I think of it is like a great, you know, I'm trying to, the way I think of the food that we're making is like a traiteur. You know, I lived off and on in France. And so you know, it's not meant to replace home cooking. It's just to supplement home cooking. So if you grab a little bit of cheese while you're there, maybe a jar of duck rillette, maybe, you know, pot pie to keep in the fridge for the next day and some salad mix. You know, I still want people to go to the farmer's market and cook. I just want to be able to give them an option of something else. So,
can I tell you what a worker said who I met? It seemed like it was a long time coming, the shop, because I'm at the Opera House a lot, and we were getting ready for Winter Walk when you really opened.
Mm-hmm.
So I would pass the shop often and see, oh, then now they're working on this, that, and the other mm-hmm. thing. And I think I knew your electrician, Harry.
Yes.
Harry Halico. A
we
shout
all
out
love
to
Harry
him.
Halico.
And a worker came out with eating something in his hand, and I said, how's the food? And he said, I would eat that food off a dirty floor. So I thought that was pretty great.
Oh, well, that's very sweet. We really had a great team. Shout out to our Daryl Lindig and ES Builders, who did an amazing job under, you know, we waited for him for a couple of months till he finished a job, mm-hmm. and he started in September, and he went full steam with his crew until we opened December 6th, and they did an amazing job. Really, really good work.
And it's been pretty much, you opened sort of with the so-called soft opening, right? I mean, you didn't advertise or anything, did you?
No advertising. No.
So everything that's happened so far has just been word of mouth and people stopping by.
Yeah.
And all that.
But I feel like you've been a kind of instant success. It seems to me there are, from the, you know, just from the street, I see people there all the time, and I hear nothing but wonderful things.
That's so great to hear, Ellen. Thank you so much. We're really happy to hear that.
So You found the shop, and then had you known anybody at the Hudson Opera House earlier than that?
No. I mean, that was after, though. We met Gary and Tambra, Gary Shiro and Tambra Dillon, very shortly after we'd signed the lease, and we started talking, and we had friends in common. Gary loves to eat, and he traveled a lot in France. And Tambra was an intern at Ballymaloe, which is a beautiful cooking school in County Cork, Ireland. And I know a lot of those folks, and I had a lot of interns from Ballymaloe. But also, they knew a lot of former fellows of the Academy and had them speaking at the Academy or performing. And so there was a lot of crossover. I've done a lot of work in my professional catering and private chefing with artists and scholars and painters. And so I've really moved within that world. So it seemed a great relationship to begin. And we immediately decided to collaborate on the TEDx.
That's what I was leading up to.
Of course. Here we go again. TEDx. Ellen and her TEDx.
Well,
sorry.
It was.
Maybe you should mention once again that you're on the board of the Hudson Opera House that sponsored the TEDx talks. Sorry.
Thank you, Tom, for clarifying that. The TEDx event, I think a lot of people would say, was a great moment for Hudson. In fact, a lot of people have said that. And I didn't know what your connection with it was, but were you instrumental in bringing Alice Waters to be part of the TEDx event?
Yes.
That was a great move.
Thank you. Well, she was in New York City and was wanting to come up and visit. So the timing was great.
Well, the timing's great also in the sense of Hudson exploding as a place for fine dining and food. And are you caterers as well?
Yes, we are.
Yeah.
Yep. We have a few more on the books right now. So.
And you'll find that, I mean, I've noticed that a lot of the chefs at the better restaurants and even some of the lesser ones are all pretty friendly with each other here.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a couple who are not, but for the most part, you could actually call it a community of like-minded
people. It's a wonderful community. Yeah. We've been very warmly accepted, and, you know, we've hired a couple local people, Hannah Black, who you mm-hmm. know ran the Catskill food truck. She's mm-hmm. working with us 3 days a week. And another wonderful cook, Jamie Paxton, who worked at Crossroads in Hillsdale. She's a talented young woman. So we have, you know, and it's a great food community, and we're thrilled to be a part of it. It just feels very warm, so we're happy.
Well, as part of the TEDx conference or whatever it's called, event, you put together the dinner that was part of that event at and held at Etsy.
Yes.
Here in Hudson. And you hired a lot of local cooks, it seems to me, or chefs.
All volunteers.
All volunteer Hudson Valley chefs.
Correct. And people from the city came up to volunteer as well.
Yeah. It was, and it was
sounds
a,
like a
really
nice
meal.
Dinner, Ellen.
It was
who
lovely.
Was your plus one?
Excuse me?
Who was your plus one?
Plus, my plus
don't
one?
Don't you know that phrase?
No.
That's what they sound wedding invitations. You know.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is that akin to, it's nothing to do with a BFF.
Well, it can
Tom
be.
Has many BFFs. We don't know what that means either.
Sure we do. It means best friend forever.
Well, yeah, but we had to ask a teenager before we knew.
Right, I wasn't sure. Anyway.
Kate, feel free to, barge in anytime here and rescue me.
So how exclusive was that dinner at Etsy, Ellen?
I think you had to have bought a ticket.
Oh, okay.
I think you had to be quick off the draw.
Yeah, right. To get those tickets, that's right.
They sold out in 48 hours, so maybe you just weren't quick enough.
Yeah, no, I'm never quick enough. It's true.
That telephone is ringing because we're in the middle of our pledge drive. And
is it a pledge?
We'll find out soon. And if listeners, all 31 of you out there, if you are enjoying the show and our conversation with Mona Talbot and Kate Arting, I hope you'll call in and make a pledge to WGXC.
How would they do that, Ellen? They might need that number.
The number is...
It's 518-697-7400. It's right here, Ellen. Oh, maybe you can't see that. Oh,
I see 8280290, but that's the wrong line. Oh, there it is. 697-7400 is the number to call.
Or you can go online to wgxc.org/donate. Or, of course, you could stop by here and meet the incredible Ellen Thurston in person at 704 Columbia Street on the second floor. And we got a lot to tell you about that's coming up this week, but let's
Well,
go back to
I just wanted to ask one more thing about your former experience, and that is Alice Waters and Shay Pernaz. I don't know how much our audience really knows about that world famous person, so maybe you could tell us a little bit about it.
Well, I had I worked at Chez Panisse for 5 years with Alice Waters, and she's widely considered, the leader of the organic food revolution, and also at the forefront of changing the school lunch program. And so she has had one restaurant her entire career, but she created a foundation in about 1998, which then became the Edible Schoolyard Foundation, which has created an integrated dining program and also school garden program in many, many public schools across the United
States.
Oh, so
they'll actually eat the schoolyard.
Yes, edible schoolyard, yeah.
Pizza
gardens. They're all over the country now. So it's
nice.
She has a wide influence.
And what did you actually do there? Were you a chef?
I started out as a cook. You know, as an intern, I ran out of cooking school and worked my way up. 5 years wasn't long enough. I mean, I probably could have stayed another 5 more years, but I was itching to get out to work in Europe. So, but it was a great experience, and it shaped my, it's the lens that I see all food through. It's the local, seasonal, organic is sort of the ongoing motto.
Great. Well, what else would you like to tell us about what's happening? Anything else?
Well, we just invite everybody to come by the store this weekend. We are preparing some special Valentine's treats.
And the address is?
323 Warren. Mm-hmm. We're just next door to the Hudson Opera House. And Red Dot.
Do you have a Facebook page?
We do, and we have a website.
And a website?
Yeah.
Do you post new, what's in the
menus,
store that day, the menus?
Yeah, the menu goes online on the Facebook there's a link on Facebook to our website every day. It's going up. This is all, new to us, so... Mm-hmm. But Sarah, who's really great at social media, is doing all that for us.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, I hope you'll come back again. We'll see you at Talbot and Arting.
Truthfully, Ellen was hoping you'd bring samples, but that's all right.
Oh, stop.
We'll drop them by.
And I'm especially glad to see you in the 300 block because, you know, there wasn't even...
You live around the corner.
There was not... I live around the corner. No, I don't. but there was... You couldn't even get a cup of coffee in that block before. And now you can, plus a lot of other wonderful mm-hmm. things. Mm-hmm. So,
well, thank you, Ellen.
Thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
This was great fun.
Us for us, too.
Well, thanks. There's our guest. Ellen, you want to tell our audience who our guests have been? Are?
Our
will
guests
be?
Are, will be, have been Mona Talbot and Kate Arding from Talbot and Arding.